Welcome to the Retro Relapse Podcast, episode number 6. Today we have different intro music because I am doing an interview with Matt Furness, who's a music video game composer and producer. I'm going to switch the song here because this one's just a shorty that you made. Okay, so both these songs that I'm playing right now are from the Adventures of Mighty Max on the Sega Genesis. This one right here, out of all the games that you've done music for, this is the game that I grew up playing a bit. Did you have any background story behind this game and the songs you came up with for it?
I think it was originally a Commodore Amiga game, and I believe I remember the only song that was actually converted from that, and maybe from the SNES version, was the intro piece, which is the kind of rock guitar one, and then all the rest of the songs for the Genesis and for the SNES, I created all those songs for that game, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember listening to the Legacy Music Hour, you guys were talking a little bit about the music change of the SNES version and the Genesis version, and of course Genesis always sounds more aggressive, like distorted guitar.
Yeah, I think I think part of that as well is just our sound driver for the Sega Genesis was actually quite a lot better than the one we had for the SNES, so that's right. Probably part of the reason. And I always like the that sort of FM synthesis sound anyway. I think I just prefer it to the sampled sound that you'd have on the Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to turn down the music a little bit here so I can ask you a few questions, and then we'll get back to playing a few more songs. Okay, so first question is, do you prefer to be called a video game music composer or a producer?
Well, right now I'm not either of those because I'm just a software engineer now, but back then I'd just be called a video game composer, I think, would be most appropriate to the kind of work I was doing back then, yeah.
Okay, and before you became a music producer, what was your musical background?
Oh, I just used to have synthesizers and keyboards I'd play around with at home. I think it was one time, I think it was around 1987, 88, I got an Atari ST and a copy of Cubase, and I worked out I could plug that into my MIDI synthesizer and make some tunes that way. A little later on, then I got the Commodore Amiga, which then I could actually write, music for demos and that kind of thing, and actually make the music on the machine itself without needing the synthesizers, which was pretty exciting back then.
Okay. Did you learn from different people how to do certain things, or did you just kind of play around and experiment in your free time?
Yeah, I just used to play around, and there was a program for the Amiga called Soundtracker or Pro Tracker, which a lot of musicians back then would use to make the music for games and demos, and I was doing that. And I made some demo tapes and sent them around to different video game development companies in the UK, and luckily one of them liked my stuff, and they gave me a job. So that was in 1989.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to ask you how it all started, how you became a music producer, like how it all happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I sent tapes around, and then I got a call from a company in a city called Rotherham, which is in England, which was very close to where I lived at the time, and they kind of wanted to take me on trial because they were starting to do a lot of games, and I think they wanted to have their own sound guy working in the office, and they gave me a job, and they luckily decided to keep me. And so at that time, I was doing just the music for the games that they were developing, which would have been things like Laser Squad, and we were doing Chase HQ and Shadow right. Warriors for Ocean, that kind of stuff. And then, from there, other companies, they sort of heard the sound and they liked it. So we were able to get some contracts, and I was being able to write music for other games, not just the ones that we were developing in-house.
Okay, yeah, and another question I had was, what sorts of bands and composers or music styles influenced you before and during your music-making career?
I was always listening to a lot of synthesized-type music like Kraftwerk and Jean-Michel Jarre and Yellow Magic Orchestra, that kind of music I really liked. I really liked all the synthesizers and those kind of things, yeah.
Okay. Were you into more like the darker edge type of music, or did you like some of the poppier stuff? Like you said you liked Depeche Mode, correct?
Yeah, I like the poppier, yeah, stuff as well. Like, yeah, kind of like Vince Clarke, Pet Shop Boys, anything like that.
Okay. Did you listen to stuff like Tears for Fears and Human League or Howard Jones, that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I loved Howard Jones. In fact, I think one of the first 7-inch singles I bought was a Howard Jones single, and of course I really liked Human League as well, because they're from my hometown, Sheffield. So that's another reason I really liked Human League.
That's funny, because I could hear that in your music. Like I totally was thinking, out of all the bands I really like, I can hear Howard Jones. Really? I could tell by just the production, the way you arrange stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's pretty funny.
That's a nice compliment.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. I like his first album the most, personally, but I could hear it. I don't know why I could hear it. It's kind of become one of my kind of things I like to do, is listen, try to find out influences of artists and bands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to play another one of your songs here. So, yeah, that space stage in the Adventure of Mighty Max, I think that song's, like, great. I would play that game and play that level just to hear that song over and over, like in particular.
Okay. Did you finish the game?
No, that game's so hard. I couldn't get anywhere in that game. It's a cool game, and I always loved Mighty Max as a kid. I used to collect the toys too. So I'm sure you get a lot of compliments on Pugsy and probably Wolfchild and Cybercop, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure why everybody likes the Cybercop music. That's actually a piece that I'd converted, which the original was from the Commodore Amiga, and it was by Ben Daglish, who was the staff musician at Gremlin at the time. And then I sort of, you know, took his song and then made it a little longer and added some pieces to it. Pugsy also, I mean, Pugsy, I quite like the Pugsy music I did myself. That's one of my favorites, just because there's, you know, so many songs in that game, which was really good. They gave me a lot of memory to work with, and there was a lot of levels to write music for, and I had, you know, free rein. I could create the music how I sort of felt would work best for the game, which was really nice.
Right. Well, I'm going to play a little bit of the Cybercop theme here for you. So, what I noticed about this track is I really could hear, I could hear your Kraftwerk influence in this. I was thinking of like the album Autobahn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess the reason why I hear it is just kind of the way you, it has a kind of a dark, atmospheric sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this one of your earlier works that you did?
This is one of the first Sega Genesis songs I did, yeah. I think maybe it could have been the second or the third one I ever did, so.
And what
I was still learning how.
Yeah, go ahead. What I noticed is I thought it was funny that I found online that someone posted a vinyl with your name on it in this song. How does that process happen?
I don't know. I guess he was just a big fan. I don't know how he managed to press a single vinyl from a piece of music, but he seems to have managed it. So.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny when I saw the video.
Well, I like this part that comes up here. This part right here. Because it's really sounds distant. And it sounds like you really focused on the melody here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it sounds like this part right here sounded like you had some sort of emotional connection with it. Because you got the melody going, and then it all kind of builds up to, cycle back over again. And what I like here is how you have this part. You have all that resonate, and then you got the bass that comes back in. And that reminded me of Kraftwerk right there, and, you know, stuff like Gary Numan, too.
Mm-hmm. Some of that, I think, is also a lot of those bands, they were using some of the early Yamaha FM synthesizers, like the DX7 and the sound hardware, and those synthesizers very closely related to what was in the Sega Genesis, which was also Yamaha FM chip. So a lot of the similar sounds you're going to hear in those records and in that Sega Genesis work.
Right. Well, let's see here. I'm going to play another track here. One of my other favorites that you did was that Daffy Duck in Hollywood, like I was talking to you about. And I really like the Options music here. The Options Game Over one, and which you said was originally intended for a level, correct?
Yeah, it was. It's not. Yeah, it wasn't for the Options, certainly, because it's quite a long piece. It was for a level. Maybe that level just got cut from the game. And I think at the time I was trying to, a big influence of mine at the time was a guy called Tim Follin, who's a really great video game composer, and did a lot of music that had a similar sound to this, a lot of these kind of arpeggiated chords, and I think I was trying to...
Yeah, I'm planning on possibly having an interview with him as well. I'd really like to have one with him because... Like you said, of him being somewhat of an influence to you, I can hear that too, because some of your songs that you do don't sound like video game music, which he's also known for doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's really
composer.
Yeah, I think that's really ambitious for video game music, you know. And I like this part here because you have a change up. It gets like really serious, you know. So it definitely sounds like level music.
There was a level in the game which was the Daffy Duck and Duck Rogers,
right?
Level, and maybe that didn't make it to the final game because I think that's what it was for.
Well, I saw that had I think that has a different song for it, but that's I bet you're probably right. You probably made this song for that and intended it, and they probably got it mixed up or something, like you said. So let's see here. I'm gonna play another track. Another one of your soundtracks that honestly impressed me was your Fido Dido stuff. And most of the songs on that are kind of like the same melody, and they kind of just intertwine differently. But let's see here. Let's see if I can find the right one I'm looking for. That one's pretty cool. The ending music is what I'm looking for. I think it's right here. Yeah, this one. And the reason why I like this one is it sounds like another emotional piece. Because this song would sound really cool if it was done just straight, the arrangement on piano.
Which, I can't even remember which game this is from. Which game is this one?
This is the Fido Dido.
Fido Dido, yeah. I don't think that game ever got released.
Right, that's kind of depressing. Because it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, that was an interesting one because they wanted, you know, all the music to sort of tie into that music which they were using on the 7-Up Fido Dido TV commercials at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like this track because it sounds like an emotional piece, too. So, let's see here. I'm going to look through on here and go through probably a few more real quick. Probably just like one more. Well, you did some movie scores too. I noticed some like stuff for the movie video games. Let's listen to the Terminator one. I like what you did with the Terminator one because you kind of have it focus on the same melody of the, you know, movie, but you kind of did your own thing with it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really really good one to be involved with the Terminator because the movie's got great soundtrack. So, you know, we could take that original movie soundtrack, make a version of that for the intro and the big Terminator logo scrolling past, and then lots of in-game music, lots of different levels and tunes and things.
Right. And, you know, some of your heavier stuff on the percussion sound, it makes me think of, like, stuff like Yuzo Koshiro, and I'm sure you're influenced by him too, right?
Yeah, he's great, yeah.
Yeah, I like the Streets of Rage soundtrack too, which your Second Samurai soundtrack that you did reminded me of that in Revenge of the Shinobi.
I think I was playing a lot of Streets of Rage then, and I was really blown away with what Yuzo Koshiro did with his Streets of Rage music, and I wanted to try and get some of those kind of sounds into the Second Samurai.
Yeah, you got pretty close for that type of sound. It's pretty impressive, because hearing that and you know, another one that sounds pretty amazing that I'll go to is the Lost Vikings soundtrack, which I looked it up because I have that game, like I told you, but I've never played it yet. And the music just sounds like it sounds like hip hop. Sounds like something that would straight come out of Living Color, the TV show.
Well, that one I just did the conversion from the Super Nintendo, and I believe the original music was written by Charles Deanan.
Okay.
For that one, who was one of the founding members of the Maniacs and Noise, the European music team that were writing a lot of game music at the time.
Right. So yeah, here's that theme song. I thought it was pretty cool because I was listening to the difference between the Super Nintendo and Genesis one, and they don't sound a whole lot different.
Yeah, this is the soup. That's the Super Nintendo Edge. I didn't do that one.
Okay. And then let's see here. Did you do this one here?
Yes, I did that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me of some heavier kind of rocking stuff, kind of like CNC Music Factory.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to play a few samples here. And then I got a few more questions because I know you don't have much time left. So I know you got to get going. Let's see. And then here are a few more questions I wanted to ask you. Let's see. So what would happen when you would produce music for games like Fido Daigo, Second Samurai, or Daffy Duck in Hollywood that would end up either canceled or not released to all the countries like the United States?
I mean, at the time, I usually wouldn't even know if the game was cancelled because, you know, I'd have a contract to write the music and I would do all the music. And at the time, I would just assume that, you know, that was sort of lost because, you know, they were making the cartridges. And if it never got onto a cartridge, then you would just figure, well, I'm never going to hear that again. So it's pretty amazing now that people have managed to find these old ROM sets and run them on the emulators and you can kind of hear all this music again. There were, yeah, a few that did get cancelled, like Fido Daido. There was a game called Fun Car Rally.
Mm-hmm.
That one was cancelled. Another one by Psygnosis. I can't remember the name of that one. There was a few that never made it out, and even a few now that still never got released. Like I did a Sega Genesis soundtrack for Shadow of the Beast 3. That was never released. Blood Money also was another one. Never got released. So there's still a few out there. Another one called Bill's Tomato Game,
mm-hmm.
Which there was one prototype cartridge for that showed up at a some kind of yard sale a couple of years ago, and someone bought it on eBay for a lot of money, but he never released the ROM sets. So I'm kind of hoping that he'll release the ROM set at some point before it gets lost forever.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, when that kind of stuff would happen and then you eventually found out on your own, did that kind of like hurt your feelings or anything? Like, did you feel like, man, this was some great stuff I did and it just never got heard?
No, I didn't mind because, people, you know, they can hear it now, a lot of those, and hopefully the other ones that are still lost will, you know, resurface at some point if someone maybe finds the code for those and can run it.
So you're more relieved now than you were probably at the time because you were so busy doing different soundtracks.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Another question I have is what particular soundtrack do you feel was your moment to shine while you were making it? Like, was there one game that you just had a moment to yourself or to others where you were like, I really think that this is the best work I've ever done?
Well, I think The Terminator is it's a pretty good one, and I remember it got some good reviews, especially for the sound at the time. You know, also the Pugsy games got good soundtrack. You know, and it's also a great game. You know, I find a lot of the times that maybe my best work, and I think a lot of composers say, is that your best work isn't necessarily going to be in the best games.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I could understand that too. And that's why sometimes even when I was a kid, even if I had some games that were really difficult or hard for me or that I didn't like, I would still try to play them just to listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
I even did that with my Game Boy when I was a kid. I'd go like listen to the sound test menu.
Mm-hmm.
Another question is, what kind of stuff are you currently working on?
I haven't done any music work for a while. I've been working as a software engineer for over 10 years now. I currently work for a company called Gaikai, which is owned by Sony. We do a cloud gaming system, which is now going to be part of the PlayStation, you know, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Vita, those kind of things. Although I did do a bit of music last year for a Kickstarter project, which was called the Heroes of Video Game Music. A friend of mine called Rick Eade in the UK got in touch with a lot of the people he worked with in the past and wanted to put together a CD of sort of remastered pieces, some of the more famous pieces from video games. So I did a bit of work for that, and hopefully that CD should be coming out this year.
Yeah, that's really cool. I remember you talking about that. I was actually listening to the Legacy Music Hour episode of the interview you did. I listened to it the other day, and I remember you mentioning that. Another question I had was, what would you suggest for anyone who is either an aspiring musician or an indie video game producer, like advice?
What, if they want to get into the industry?
Yeah.
I think if you're an unknown, I think you've got to be prepared to do a fair bit of work for free, to be honest. If you know you want to work for a developer or something, I think you need to show your talents and just say, hey, just take me on, you know, and don't pay me for a while. Let me show you what I can do. Because if you want to get paid instantly, you know, then there's going to be a pretty long line of people ahead of you that also want that. I think if you've got talent and you can prove that, then I think there's a job. There's going to be a paid job for you there down the line.
Right. So that makes sense. Do you believe that times have changed with the amount of success for people in the entertainment industry or even in like the video game industry?
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think that the fundamentals are the same. I think if you've got talent and you can show that, then you're going to be able to be successful. I mean, I think there's probably no better time to be making games now. There's so many different types of games now. There's still the big AAA titles, but you've got small indie developers working on mobile, you know, games, and there's lots of, you know, such a wide range of different games now, from the, you know, small minimalist games, yeah, like I said, right up to those big AAA titles. I think there's something for everyone.
And do you feel that making music today is different than making music back then with the limitations?
Oh, it's absolutely different, yeah. Because back then it was the limitation that was the thing that I most enjoyed, is you've got this limited sound chip and you've got a limited piece of memory, and I'm getting to really think of the music and create that music how I feel it should be, whereas now you really don't have those technical limitations, and you're going to have a lot of more people involved with the project that are going to want the sound to be how they want it to sound. So it's hugely different.
Right. And yeah, that's what I was wondering myself too. This is a question I've been wanting to ask you for a long time now. Now, I'm a musician. I play drums. I play guitar. I play bass. I DJ. I've recorded my own music too. And I've always wanted to kind of do music on the Sega Genesis myself. If I wanted to create music right from the console, or even from a Nintendo or Super Nintendo, the original way, how would I go about doing that?
Well, that might be, it'd be fairly tricky these days. Because back when I was doing it, we used to write our own development systems and create our own sound drivers. Which would mean, you know, you'd have to actually write the code to talk to the sound hardware, and then we'd have to create more programs then to allow me to create the music. There were, at the time, like with the Super Nintendo, you could get Nintendo's audio development package, which would, I think, would come with a developer license, which was what most developers would use, and that's the music, you know, that Nintendo would use that themselves to create, you know, music to Super Mario World and all those kind of games. Sega Genesis, I think Sega did have their own system I never saw. There was also an American-made system called GEMS, which a lot of American composers would use. But of course, the best way to do it is to really write your own sound driver, which means you'd have to learn how to, you know, write 68,000 code for the CPU. You'd have to learn about the sound hardware. It'd be pretty involved. It can be done.
So I'd have to do like a ton of research, is what you're saying?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I understand that. And so at that time, it was more like a private, legal and confidential type of thing almost.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because I've seen some programs that people make now to where you can buy a program online, download it, and make Genesis music and stuff like that.
Yeah. Probably the easiest way would be to use some kind of a DAW plugin, you know, like a virtual instrument that would most closely reproduce the FM sound chip that was in the Sega Genesis, and that would give you a pretty good approximation.
So doing like, if I was to do a USB keyboard, like an M-Audio or something, would that help with that involvement as well?
Yeah, you'd probably want to be looking at, like a program like Logic Pro for the Macintosh or Cubase for something like that. And then, you know, there's a lot of virtual instruments that do, you know, old FM. And I think there's some specifically made that do try to emulate the Sega Genesis and some that do the Super Nintendo. And that way, you know, you'd be able to do something that was pretty close.
Okay. Now, I'm sure you probably got to get going, but do you have time to do music trivia, or would you have to get going now?
Okay, let's do a quick trivia round.
Okay. All right, cool. I'm going to play a few Genesis songs that are not ones that you've produced, but I'm going to see if you can at least guess the game of them, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's see here. Does it sound familiar?
Is it American?
You could say it's based off an American TV show.
Sounds like the GEMS driver. I don't know. Is it something like Toe Jam and Earl or some one of those electronic arts games, something like that?
No, you're kind of close. Letter T. That's correct. Okay. Letter T.
What is it?
Ninja Turtles, it's the Tournament Fighters game.
Oh, okay. Nah, I've never seen that one. Okay.
Yeah, the music's actually really cool in it. All the Ninja Turtles music is really good.
It's real funky. Yeah, the only Ninja Turtles ones I have heard is the Konami one, which is from the arcade game.
Okay, let's see. We got another one.
Well, that sounds like Toe Jam. Oh, is that Toe Jam?
Yep. Yeah, that's Panic on Funkotron.
Oh, there you go.
How did they get that kind of sound out of the Genesis to make that funk sound so like real?
I think that's what it's one of the things the FM sound chip does good. It does those real squelchy, kind of farty bass sounds. That's one of its strong points.
So that's what you did with Booger Man with the fart sound effects and stuff too?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I love the Toe Jam and Earl soundtracks. They're some of my favorite music, like, ever. Which has actually influenced me to be a house DJ too. This kind of music. Okay, let's see another game here. Here we go.
Never heard that. What is it?
That's Vector Man.
Oh, Vector Man. Yeah, I had that game. I just don't remember the music. Okay.
Music's very techno.
Yeah.
And kind of dark edge, I guess, too, I guess I would say. Sounded like a lot of stuff that was in, like, I guess, the clubs back then. Okay, let's do this one.
Sonic 2 or Sonic 3?
No, it is like one of the earlier games, kind of like that though.
I've heard that song before.
I bet you know it. It's in the back of your head, I'm sure. It's a popular game. It's Outrun.
Is it Outrun, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Outrun music's great. All right.
It's not from the original soundtrack from the arcade though, that one, is it?
You know, I thought they converted the soundtrack from the arcade over to the Genesis. They might not have, but this one's I believe it's this is the Step on Beat song, I think. I have to see. Let's see here. Yeah, it says Step on Beat, so. Okay, and let's see. Let's do a few more here. This one's a sword fighting game, kind of. It's kind of like Zelda.
I don't like Zelda.
It's kind of like Zelda, but it's not a top view. It's a side scroller.
Is it a Wonder Boy game?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Wonder Boy and Monster World. That was one of the first games I had.
Yeah, that music's a little different because I used to play that all the time. I had it. NEC Turbo Graphics, and they had a really good version of Monster World. I used to play it all the time. Had a little bit different music to that, though.
Yeah, I love this game. It's great.
It's a really good game, though.
Yeah, it took me forever to beat this game, and I had to beat it on an emulator because it got so hard, but I got really to the end on the Genesis. Okay, let's do like two more songs here. Give you a hint on this one. This one's from a movie video game.
It's a movie?
Yeah, it's a game based off a movie. Actually, one of my favorite Sega Genesis soundtracks when I was growing up, too.
Jurassic Park, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Jurassic Park Rampage Edition, the second one, which I thought was way better.
That was a good guess.
Yeah, you nailed it. That was pretty good. Okay, and let's give you one more here. I'll give you a hint on this one too. It's from a game based off a kid's TV show. Another game I played all the time as a kid.
Power Rangers?
Yep. It's the fighting one.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a roll.
There you go.
You know your stuff. I'm impressed. Yeah, I like the music in this because it's very progressive rock. Now, you were probably influenced by a lot of progressive rock, too. Like, you probably liked... did you like ELP?
What did I like? It was progressive rock. Actually, my favorite progressive rock when I was growing up, I still listen to Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds all the time, which is considered a progressive rock album. I used to listen to that. A lot of ELO. Not really progressive rock, but definitely the Jeff Wayne's War of the World album was considered a classic prog rock double album.
Okay, yeah, I listen to some progressive rock too. You know, of course, like I said, ELP and Rush and King Crimson and stuff like that too. Let's see here. I'm gonna mention before you go, I'm gonna mention some of the games you've done. So, for listeners to check out. As I said, you did Daffy Duck in Hollywood. You also did Mickey Mania, correct?
Yeah, Mickey Mania. Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
And then Wolf Child, which is also another game I've been wanting to check out. The music in that's really cool too. You also did Alien 3.
Yeah, that one's good. That
That
one's got a pretty good soundtrack.
game's extremely hard.
Good game.
It is really cool for the Genesis. So you did the Terminator music, you did the transfer of the arcade game, of the Terminator arcade game, and you did the transfer of the Lost Vikings game.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Another big couple of big ones I did, which were pretty heavily based on the arcade music, was Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2.
Right, yeah.
They've
Yeah.
got good soundtracks as well.
Now, when you did transfers of stuff like the Mortal Kombat ones, would you listen to the soundtracks and then just kind of make them off of what you're hearing, or would you actually get like a formula to go off of?
Yeah, exactly. It would usually they'd send me the tapes with the arcade music, or occasionally if we were actually doing the game in house, we'd have the arcade machines. We'd have them in the office, so we could do the sound test there, and then I could base it off it. And then sometimes I'd want to take a little artistic license and maybe change the soundtrack a little bit to make it better suited to to say your Genesis or something.
And you also did, like I said, Fido Dido, you did Cyber Cop, Booger Man, Second Samurai, you did the transfer of Super Smash TV on the Genesis.
Yeah,
You
that
did.
one. I wrote a couple of extra songs for that one as well, because the arcade machine really only had one main piece for all the levels. So I added a couple of extra songs in there, so just a bit more variety.
And then you did Pugsy, which is like your prized gem soundtrack. And
Yeah.
one of the songs I found online that you did was for the Amiga, which was for the Spy Who Loved Me James Bond game. And that song that you did was sick for that. It was cool because it sounded like hip hop style and you did a lot of samples on
Oh God, yeah, don't play that though, please.
it. I think it's cool. I like it. I thought it was cool. Now, wh
it's
what
got
was the
some
thing
pretty
about the
bad bit.
Amiga? I never experienced the Amiga growing up. What was the Amiga exactly? Is it kind of like a Commodore 64 or something?
Yeah, it was the sort of the, as you were, the 16-bit follow-up to the Commodore 64. It's an American machine, but I don't think it was ever terribly popular in America, but it was super popular back in Europe. And it's got a really for its time really amazing graphics and sound, 4 channels of 8-bit sound, lots of memory. So although it doesn't have a lot of sound channels, the advantage of having a lot of memory really helped, and there's some pretty amazing music was made for that machine, stereo sound as well.
And you also did music for the G-Lok Air Battle and F-15 Strike Eagle 2, is that correct?
Yeah, that was based on the Sega G-Lok arcade machine.
Yeah, and both of those soundtracks sounded kind of like Iron Maiden influenced.
Oh, I used to listen to a lot of Iron Maiden.
I could tell by
In fact, I saw them last year, and I saw them the year before live.
That's funny. What is that what you were thinking of when you were making those soundtracks too, or were you thinking more among like Thunderstrike?
No, it's probably both. I did used to play a lot of Thunderstrike as well, which has a pretty heavy rock type soundtrack. And then just being a big Maiden fan as well, I think that influence came out there as well. I mean, it's nothing better than some good hard rock, heavy metal music for those kind of games, I think.
Okay. Well, that about does it for this episode. First off, I want to thank you very much for doing an interview and taking the time to do this with me. I really, really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show, just Julian.
Yeah, thank you. And anytime you want to come on the show, that'd be great. I think it'd be really great if you could come on an episode where we do a Genesis focus on the music so you can give us a background on how the system worked more in detail when making music. If you're interested in doing that sometime, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Okay. And any more things you want to say to the listeners? Any advice or anything?
No, just thanks for making the show, and I think it's great you're doing a focus on all these retro soundtracks, and everybody keep on listening.
Thank you very much. And I will chat with you later, Mr. Matt Furness.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Julian.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
So that was my interview with Matt Furness that I just recorded. I figured I'd continue on to do the episode a little bit, you know, to go in more detail about him since he isn't able to do the interview longer because I'm sure he has some other things going on. But I'm going to play a few more songs that he's done for all of you listeners to get a good idea of what this man had to offer back then. I think this kind of stuff, this is the reason why I do this show, is this kind of stuff really inspires me as a musician. You know, just hearing this kind of stuff is just unbelievable. How these people like Matt Furness and Tim Follin and you know, Yuzo Koshiro, and the list goes on. People like that, just for the amount of effort that they would put into these tracks that they would make, was really incredible. You know, out of respect to you, Matt, I'm not going to play the Spy Who Loved Me song. I like it, but since you're asking me not to, I won't. But just to give the listeners an idea, I'm going to play a little bit of the Mortal Kombat stuff so people can get an idea of how he kind of transferred it over to the Genesis. So let's see here. Let's do this track here. So as you can see, it kind of has a dark sound to it. Let's go to a different track here. This one is really neat. It sounds very similar, but it does have the percussions going. It's pretty amazing how he get the sound of the percussion to sound almost like the Super Nintendo, because Super Nintendo did real samples in the hardware from what I've heard. So yeah, that's Mortal Kombat 2 there. Let's do a regular Mortal Kombat track. The classic is the opening theme, of course. Everybody knows this. And just to give people an idea of the Second Samurai track, of how it sounds like Streets of Rage, I'm gonna play that here. But first, I'm gonna play a Streets of Rage track, just so people can get an idea. Streets of Rage here. Let's listen to the first Streets of Rage track, which is my favorite. So you can hear the beats and everything. Sounds very much like techno and house music. Then I'm going to switch to stage 3 here, because I think... Oh, that's not stage 3. Let's see. Okay, stage 2. Let's do this. So, a little bit slower. And then I'm gonna show you guys how... You can hear how his influence switched over with the beat. But she did a few other soundtracks that kind of have that influence, which is really neat as well, like I said. Okay, so here's Second Samurai. Sorry, everybody. I had my case on my MP3 player, so I was kind of cutting out the audio. So you can kind of hear the beat to it. This is cool. The bass switch. I think this is cool. It's very kind of funky, but it has that kind of oriental root to it. Asiatic, as Brent Weinbach on Legacy Music Hour would say. So let's get into something that's kind of similar to this, which is... also similar to the Terminator theme. That'd be the Alien 3 Stage 1 on the Genesis. Has a lot of his stuff has a really cool dark feel to it, and I really admire that. I think that's what the Genesis did best with a lot of games. Over to show you guys kind of the Wolfchild music too and the differences between them. We'll start with the Genesis, and then we'll switch to the Sega CD, and then we'll switch to the Super Nintendo, just to give you an idea on how vastly different kind of all three of them are. So this is Wolfchild for the Sega Genesis. And the bass guitar, or the bass root to it, it reminds me, on this version, it reminds me of a band called Cause and Effect, which was a 90s synth pop group. I think they started... right the year I was born. I think they started in 88, but their first actual album came out in 1990. And they did a song called You Think You Know Her, and that's what this kind of reminds me of a little bit. Very cool stuff. Very, very cool. I give listeners an idea. I'm going to switch to the Sega CD one. I'll have to ask him later about music doing on the Sega CD, what it was like, and how it was vastly different. Should have asked him that. Oh, well. The bass root's a little bit different, because on the four right there, it's the same note as the third. So this version of it kind of sounds more like a song by Chris Isaak that he did in the 90s as well. I forgot the name of the song, but it has the same exact progression and tempo, which I don't know if he was influenced by that, because from his background it doesn't sound like it, but you know, lots of songs sound similar too. But I just thought it was really neat. He did kind of the same thing, but two different versions for both the Sega CD and the Sega Genesis. I mean, that shows creative, you know, his creative spirit right there. Then let's listen to the SNES version, Super Nintendo. This one has more of an instrumental type of sound to it. It sounds like a strings in the background, but like right at the beginning, it sounds like strings. Buddy, the computer's still putting out sound. Okay, and we'll do a few more here and I'll let you guys go. I know my episodes have been running too long. A lot of my episodes run crazy long. Let's do a song that he did for Pugsy. I really like this one. It's called So Pharaoh So Good, which I believe it's a boss level song. This also sounds pretty dark too. And as he said, he really, he said on the Legacy Music Hour that he had a lot of freedom with the Pugsy soundtrack. And as he said on here in this interview, he really enjoyed doing the soundtrack. So this one kind of reminds me of stuff like the game E-SWAT, or kind of like Vector Man too. Let's see what else we got here. Let's delve into the world of the airplane games. This one's from F-15 Strike Eagle 2. This one's called Up, Up, and Away, I believe. This one sounds like Iron Maiden. Kind of like a Number of the Beast or a Power Slave album. It's so funny. I just asked him, and he said he was a big Iron Maiden fan, so that's really cool. I could just hear it in this. So we'll also go to G-Lock Air Battle. Now, this is the first stage song. Sounds very similar. Same tempo. This is actually... Justin and I were talking about this, and we both agree that this version's... We like this song more than the last one. It is better audio quality on the track I got, but it also sounds kind of like Iron Maiden 2. A little bit different, though. But you would expect it to be from the same game, because they're both kind of the same type of sound, but they're both two different airplane games, I believe. Let's see here. I'm going to play some of the tracks from a game called Wiz and Liz he did. I really like it. Kind of reminds me of Oingo Boingo or Danny Elfman a little bit. It also kind of reminds me of this guy named Klaus Nomi, who is a very obscure new wave artist back in the early time of new wave music. Who, I just thought about it. He did a song. What's it called? I gotta look it up. I think it's called Lightning Strikes, which he's very influenced by a lot of opera music and musical stuff, and he's also influenced by Judy Garland. I don't know if Matt Furness knows who that is, but Matt, you'll have to tell me if you know who Klaus Nomi is. It's spelled Klausnomi, and he was a really obscure musician. Let's see here, he died, I think, of AIDS in '83. He did a song called Lightning Strikes, and he also did a song called Total Eclipse, which also kind of reminds me of ELO stuff too. Like you were mentioning, Matt. Very, very much like that. It totally reminds me of that. Let's do another Wiz and Liz track here. This is Temple Land. And while we're on the subject of New Wave, I want to mention that I'm a fan of the group Devo, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is they just posted on their Facebook that one of the members passed away today. Let's see. I go to their page and read it. Because this is definitely retro-related, so it says, "We are shocked and saddened by Bob Casals passing." I think that's how you pronounce it. He not only was integral in Devo's sound, he worked over 20 years at Mutato, collaborating with me on 60 or 70 films and television shows. Not to mention countless commercials and many video games. Bob was instrumental in creating the sound of projects as varied as Rugrats, that's interesting, and Wes Anderson films. He was a great friend. I will miss him greatly. This sounds like Rugrats too. I just thought about it. And that is Mark Mothersbaugh. I have trouble pronouncing last names sometimes. So both of them, I'm more than positive, are members of Devo. Let's see. Hopefully I don't get that wrong and people bash me, but because I'm a big fan of Devo. I just listen to so much music, I can't always keep track. Yeah, yeah, they're both members. Okay. So that's a shame. Passed away of heart failure at the age of 61. So prayers go out to them and their family. I'm also praying for my grandfather to go through and not have heart failure, because he's in the hospital right now and I saw him today. So let's try to get on a cheerful note. We're listening to cheerful music and I'm talking about sad stuff. Let's see what else is here. This is volcano music from the Mighty Max game. This is pretty cool. Kind of reminds me of stuff like it would be in, I want to say Golden Axe, but it sounds different. Kind of reminds me of stuff that would be in a Super Mario 64, I guess. Oh yeah, Matt Furnace did some soundtracks for the 64 as well. He did soundtracks for, I believe, Excitebike 64, which I've never played that game myself. And Cruisin' Exotica, he did the conversion for that. He also did music for, let's see here. I think it's Fear Effect. Yeah, Fear Effect for the PlayStation. That was in 99. Which I've never played that game either, surprisingly. But I've had curiosities on that game, which a lot of people have for different reasons. Okay, and let's see here. Let's get ready to close this episode now. I'm going to play a little bit of what he did for the Smash TV. I don't know if you guys know the Smash TV music, but this is just the way he did it for the Sega Genesis, because he converted it over. And it also says that he did conversions for Space Harrier 2, but he did it on the Amiga, Atari ST, and Commodore 64. Which, I wish he would have done it for the Mega Drive, the Genesis, because I love Space Harrier. I'm like a big, big Space Harrier fan. So yeah, this game is really cool. If you've never played it, it's a great game on the Nintendo also. Smash TV, definitely check it out. It's a great game. We've already talked about it on the first episode, if you want to listen to our review on it. Our very first episode. Alright. We'll play one more song. I think we're going to play the Zool track. I can find it on here. Oh, let's play this. This is Street Racer, the title theme for the Super Nintendo. This is really cool, too. I like it. It's a very cool arrangement to it. And the heavy guitars that come in after this melody part, they remind me of the heavy guitars that were done on the version of Doom, which Matt did not do. But the guitars right here remind me of the music for Doom on the Super Nintendo. It's probably the same, done the same way. I think this music's pretty cool. Gotta find this Zool track just to give you guys an idea. Okay, here it is. This is also very kind of grooving beat to it. This kind of reminds me of the Kid Chameleon soundtrack. It also kind of reminds me of Earthworm Jim a little bit too. Or those two games. Very cool. Sounds like 90s techno stuff. Kind of reminds me of, I got power. Kind of reminds me of that. Snap. Man, he's got me so tempted to play that Spy Who Loved Me track. It's so cool, though. Since I'm not going to play it on here out of respect for him, you gotta check it out. If you look it up on YouTube, just look up Matt Furness, The Spy Who Loved Me. It's the theme song. It's really cool. This part reminds me of... There's a breakdown like that in NBA Hangtime on the 64, I think. Same breakdown. What else is there here? I was gonna pick a closing song here. Let's see. Oh yeah, I wanna close with the Mighty Max soundtrack. I want to close with the theme song. There's the theme song here. It's very hard rock. And you know, now that I think about it, it sounds like he said, ELO. I don't think he might have been influenced by ELO when he was thinking about this, because it sounds like Don't Bring Me Down. No, 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 no. Woo! That's what it reminds me of. I just thought about it. It's very much. Because it's been bugging me, too. I was just thinking about it. Very much ELO, Don't Bring Me Down. It's a very similar arrangement. Let's see. Try to sing the lyrics with it, or read them at least. Very cool. So this is the cool part with the guitar. It also kind of reminds me of the song Heavy Metal, from the movie Heavy Metal, the soundtrack. I think it's called Taking a Ride, Don Felder. That might be the right one. I'm not sure. It does kind of remind me of that, too. I'm going to restart this so I can read the lyrics with it. This is cool. So it goes, you got me running, going out of my mind. You got me thinking that I'm wasting my time. Don't bring me down. No, 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 no. Woo-hoo. I'll tell you once before I get off the floor. Don't bring me down. It does sound like that. Nice day out with fantasy friends. I'm telling you it's gonna be the end. Don't bring me down. No, 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 no. Ooh. Yeah, it is very, very much like that. It reminds me of. Anyways, yeah, I can sing. I just don't want to sing really loud and just throw off all the listeners. I'm tempted to, though. But I'm not going to. I don't want to ruin this episode, so. Anyways. Very, very ELL influence, like you said. I think that's really cool. I just connected that. So I'm going to let this play and mention a few more things about the show. So the listener, Michael Kelso from from Retro Thought Pod, he mentioned to me that he was under the impression that we were going to change the whole show to be about movies, which is totally not true. And I told him in detail, and I'm going to tell you now again, we're not going to just do movies only. Don't worry, everybody. We're going to do music and video games. We're going to still do video games here and there, but we're going to do music or movie focuses a lot. I'm just kind of adding formula to the show. I just want to build a fan basis and obviously, and you know, just because I want to be able to have a fan basis on the page to where they can all socialize about stuff that they like, and I want to be able to take suggestions from people that I haven't even thought about and have ideas, because I mean, I always have ideas on episodes to do, but I don't want to make it about myself. I want to make it about the listeners, and I want to see what kind of following builds out of that, and that's why I wanted to do a show for a long time. So just message us on Facebook. We have the Retro Relapse Podcast Facebook page. Just look us up on Facebook. Like I said, we're on Twitter, so if you go to twitter.com/retrorelapsepod, we're on there too. You know, we're on iTunes and Zoom, so if you look up our podcast, you can subscribe that way. We let's see here, what else? Yeah, our RSS feed is through Podomatic, so if you go to the Retro Relapse Podcast.podomatic.com, that is our actual page. I want to eventually build our own domain name website to where you can just go to the Retro Relapse Podcast.com, which I'm going to look more into as well. We're on blogspot.com, but we don't really use that much. I haven't been on there in a while, like I said. And we upload our episodes to archive.org as well. And we are on Stitcher. So if you download the app Stitcher to your iPhone and you want to listen to the Retro Relapse podcast, all you got to do is download the app and listen to us. Let's see here. So if you go to stitcher.com/podcast... Retro Relapse Podcast. I think that's the whole link. So you can check us out that way. So anyways, thank you for listening to the episode. And we will be recording with Mike. As you know, Mike D, the guy who does the movie stuff with us the past two episodes. We're going to record with him right at the beginning of March. So that episode will more than likely be next. We may even record an extra episode this weekend, Justin and I, and may talk about more about video games. So getting all the video game fans back in here, I mean, come on, don't leave us. We're not going to change the format, so. Like I said, thank you for listening.